2 Corinthians chapter 8, and this is what God would say to us this morning. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints, and they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Amen. And this is indeed God's word to us. Let's just bow our heads for a moment and pause before we think about these words together. Let's pray. Father God, in the stillness, we just pray that you would help us to lay aside any other cares, thoughts or concerns. We pray that you would help us to lay aside any of our own preconceived ideas or notions. And that, Father God, this morning you would allow us to look at your word and to hear the words preached and proclaimed today. Father God, we pray that they might be your words. And we pray that they would indeed challenge us, that they would encourage us, that they would move us on in our journey of faith with you. And Father God, we pray that we would learn through them this morning. Would you come and would you bless your children now? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. John Wesley, the great preacher and hymn writer of yesteryear, was once preaching on Christian giving. And there was a farmer in the congregation. If you're a farmer this morning, my apologies. There was a farmer in the congregation. John Wesley made his first point, make all you can. The farmer turned to the person sitting next to him and nodded his approval. Then came the second point of the sermon, save all you can. The farmer turned and gave another nod of approval to the person sitting beside him. And then came Wesley's third point. Can you guess it? Give all you can. The farmer frowned and turned to his friend and said, now he's spoiled it. I'm not sure what you think when preachers begin to talk about giving, but I hope this morning that as we consider this subject matter, that you will look beyond the preacher's words and you will consider what God truly has to say to each and to every one of us through his word. As I said, I don't preach on giving often. In fact, I think in the 3 years I've been here, we've maybe done it 2 or 3 times. So once a year is not a bad average. Giving is a hard subject for us. And that's what the farmer found in his life in the story. We're concluding our series this morning, looking at our vision statement, remembering that we are to be demonstrating God's love in action in the community of Cornton. And as we do that, we are to be a number of things. We are to be a worshipping family, meeting with God to praise and to honour Him. We are to be a praying people who wait on Him to receive His guidance and His power. We want to be a witnessing partnership, sharing with a community and the world the good news of what God has done through Jesus Christ. We are an equipping fellowship, encouraging daily living according to the teachings and life of Jesus Christ. And we are a caring congregation, responding in Christian love to the joys, the hurts, the needs of people within and beyond our church membership. And today, as we finish it off, we come to think that we are to be a giving church, supporting the work of God at home and abroad. Before coming to consider the cause of our giving, the supporting of the work of God at home and abroad, I want us to consider what Paul teaches the Corinthian church here about the characteristics of giving. He is encouraging them here in verse 7 to excel, to give all they can, to be their very best at the grace of giving. This passage in 2 Corinthians 8 is primarily about Paul speaking to the churches in Corinth, encouraging them and challenging them to give for the work of the saints in Jerusalem. However, I believe if you look carefully, this is the most detailed account of Christian giving in the New Testament. It is a model for us to consider and to be challenged by. The Old Testament teaching, as we well know, focuses very much in on the tithe, the giving of the first 10% of our income to God. And there's something important in what I've just said that we often miss there as well. It is the first 10%. It's not that last 10% when we struggle to give it, for we've spent everything else we have and there's only a little left. It's about sitting down on payday, on the day the paycheck arrives in the bank, the day the pension comes in, the day the benefits arrive in our hands. It's about sitting down on that first day and taking that first 10% or whatever we have decided in our hearts to give and laying it aside for God's work. It is, as Paul suggests in chapter 9 and verse 7, giving what we've decided in our hearts to give. We should desire to give God all that we have. I found various stories that I could have begun with this morning as I thought about giving and talking about tithing. William Colgate, some of us may have brushed our teeth this morning with Colgate's toothpaste. William Colgate, when he was alive, began by giving God 10% of his income, and before his life was over, he was virtually giving his entire annual income to the work of God. Or what about Henry Crowell, founder of Quaker Oats? I don't know who had porridge this morning, had Quaker Oats. Henry Crowell, the founder, gave 60% of his income to God. God is the giver of all good things. And in fact, all we do in our giving is give back to Him from what He has first given to us. But God longs for us to do that with cheerful hearts, though, not out of sense of duty or compulsion, but out of a heart of love. There's a little background to the churches that Paul is writing to here, and in the ones he's mentioning, he mentions the Macedonian churches. What are or where are the Macedonian churches? Macedonia was in the northern province of Greece. It was a Roman province. And the churches Paul is most likely referring to are churches that we know, the churches in Philippi, the churches in Thessalonica, and the church in Berea as well. This was basically an impoverished area. It had been ravaged by many years of wars, and even then was being plundered by the Roman authority and by Roman commerce. They were being persecuted. They were struggling financially, emotionally, and physically, and yet they kept going and they kept focused on our Lord. It is those churches that Paul speaks about when he comes to talk of the characteristics of giving. He informs the Corinthians of the excellence in giving of these churches and of the individual Christians within them. He speaks of the manner in which they do it and the heart from which it is done. And there is this, for me, is very much the par excellence of giving. So what are the characteristics we see and learn from and seek to have in our own lives? First thing to note from verse 2 is that we are to give joyfully. To give joyfully. The Macedonian churches were suffering. They were under trial and persecution. They were poor and they were struggling. And yet in the midst of that, they were overflowing with joy, Paul writes. The Greek word sometimes translated there as abundance more accurately means surplus. They gave all they had. They were overfilled and overwhelmed with joy, and so it overflowed in their giving. The Christians in Macedonia had an abundant and overflowing joy. In spite of their terrible situation, the church's joy rose above their pain. Such was their devotion and their commitment to Jesus that they were joyful in trial. Somehow in the midst of great suffering, they were able to rejoice. Perhaps they had remembered Jesus' teaching that it was more blessed to give than to receive. Certainly Paul had spoken to the church in Ephesus about that when he said, reminding them of Jesus' words, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Or maybe they remembered words from the Old Testament. Maybe they remembered words of Nehemiah, who said, "The joy of the Lord is our strength," after he had toiled and laboured with the people to rebuild the walls. Or perhaps they remember the words of the prophet Habakkuk, who in chapter 3 of his little prophecy says, "Though the fig tree does not bud, though there are no grapes on the trees, though the olive crop fails, though there are fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour." These people knew what it was to be joyful and to rejoice in whatever circumstance they found themselves in. Perhaps the words of James might have been a comfort to them and a challenge to them as well, an encouragement. "Consider it pure joy," he says, "whenever you face trials of many kinds." Whatever it was, these Christians in the churches across Macedonia were overflowing with joy. And that overflowing of joy allowed them to give joyfully to the Lord. They may have been under trial, they may have been poor, they may have had many needs of their own, but they gave to God and they gave to the work of the saints, and they gave joyfully. We struggle, don't we? We struggle a lot in life at times as well. We have trials, we have difficulties. Some of us are poor and want to give so much, but we can't. But be encouraged and give joyfully what you can. Remember that story of the widow's mite. Give joyfully. The Christians here also gave sacrificially. We remember that they were under trial and persecution. Paul informs us that they were under extreme poverty. This is deep poverty, as it can also be translated. And talking of poverty doesn't simply mean that they were poor, that they couldn't afford much, that they didn't have much. This kind of extreme poverty that Paul is referring to is the most severe type of economic deprivation. It's the kind of stuff that would virtually force you to become a beggar. They were struggling deeply financially. However, out of those circumstances, within them welled up rich generosity, which expressed itself in giving to the work of the Lord. In verse 3, Paul says that he testifies that he has seen the proof that they gave as they were able. They gave as much as they possibly could. They gave proportionately as they were able to. And that is what we are expected to do as well. God wants us to give not based on some formula, although the idea of tithing is a great place to start, but according to what we have at our disposal. More than that though, Paul says that these Christians gave beyond their ability. Verse 3 again, their giving is sacrificial. They gave more than they could. They gave way beyond what God expected of them. Later in verse 12, Paul would write, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Give as you are able." However, check out this model from the churches, from the Christians in Macedonia, says Paul. They gave sacrificially, they gave deeply, they gave willingly because they wanted to see the work of God prosper. They wanted to see lives changed. They wanted to see lives transformed. They wanted to support those whose work it was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so they gave beyond their means. A group of Christians in a small city by the riverside in Brazil had prayed and worked for several months trying to reach more people. A spiritual awakening in the town resulted in numerous conversions. A young missionary provided $25 to buy a mud hut for the growing congregation to worship in and to hear God's word preached and proclaimed in. Soon the people began to say, our building is overflowing with people. When can we have a real church building? It's at that point that one afternoon, Donna Sylvia, a 70-year-old woman, asked a missionary to visit her home. She offered the first $5 toward the building. For 3 months, she explained, she and her husband had done without one meal a day. They planned to keep doing that until the new church building could be paid for. Sacrificial giving. A giving church gives joyfully, but it also gives sacrificially out of grateful hearts for all that God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Paul goes on to say, though, that another characteristic of a giving church based on the Macedonian model here is a church that gives voluntarily. At the end of verse 3 we read, entirely on their own, which in our NIV text appears to go with what comes in chapter 4. But I think if you go back to the Greek, it more accurately goes with what has gone before. They gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. Or perhaps as the Greek, authoritoi, could be translated, they gave of their own accord, they gave of their own free will. They gave because they wanted to give. They gave voluntarily. And giving should never be done under compulsion. God doesn't want us to give because we've been manipulated, because we've been intimidated, because we've felt forced into it by other people or even by the preacher up the front. God intended us to give freely from thankful and grateful hearts. Indeed, as Paul would say in chapter 9 and verse 7, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Christ Jesus freely and completely gave himself for us upon the cross of Calvary. We ought to want to give freely of ourselves to him, not only our money, but our very lives. A giving church gives voluntarily. A giving church also gives persistently. The Macedonian Christians urgently pleaded, verse 4, urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. They would not take no for an answer. They were determined to give, and they were committed to doing it. Nothing would stop them. They pleaded with Paul to give. They wanted to help, so they begged him to be allowed to. Friends, here's a thought for you this morning. When was the last time you pleaded for me to uplift an offering? As I sat on holiday in a church that didn't lift up an offering, did I myself sit and think, where's the offering place? This Christians in Macedonia and those churches there wanted to give, and they persisted in asking to be able to give and to support the work of the kingdom. And notice they didn't just keep persisting and asking and pleading and begging to give and help. They actually persistently gave to Paul over a period of many years towards the work of the kingdom. And then Paul's letter to the church in Philippi in chapter 4 and verse 14 and following, we learn that the church in Philippi, one of the churches in that Macedonian area, always shared with Paul. When no one else did, they did. Paul writes, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. As Paul moved around, still they sent him money to aid in his travels, to support him in his mission. They persistently gave over a long period of time. So a giving church will give persistently. And if we need a little bit of help in giving persistently, then we have envelopes. I saw this morning as I was putting leaflets in the leaflet rack, there are envelopes there to encourage you to give persistently, to give often, to give regularly as well. And if you're a taxpayer, I'm just going to diversify for a wee minute and do a wee sales pitch. If you're a taxpayer, then give, sign a form for gift aid. It costs you nothing, it costs me nothing. But the Chancellor, very kind man that he is, for every pound we give, gives us 25 or 6 or 7 something pence back on top of it. So if you give a pound and you pay by, and you're a taxpayer, your giving's actually a pound 20 something or other. So it works. And you can see Colin afterwards and he can tell you all about that. But maybe it's not just giving financially. Maybe you've got time you can give to God and you want to give it regularly and you want to give it persistently. We've got a kids' mission coming up in a few weeks. You can be involved in helping with that. We need to do child protection things and all of that, but lay that to the side. You can help. We've got kids' clubs starting back up in the winter months. Need helpers. If you've got time, you've got talent, then you can give persistently and regularly to the Lord. And people give in a variety of ways. You have many gifts, friends. Many gifts. Are you giving them persistently to God? And notice that that final characteristic of giving mentioned here by Paul is that very one of giving ourselves. The Christians in Macedonia, we learn in verse 5, did not give as Paul expected them to, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to the saints in keeping with God's will. They gave themselves, not their money alone, but they gave their very lives to God. They wanted to give their whole service, their whole self to God in service. They wanted to give to God their time and their talents as well as their treasures. God had given them everything. God has given us everything. Life and breath, gifts and talents, time and energy, as well as finances. And the Macedonian Christians wanted to give all of that back to God. Friends, we would do well to see this model of Christian giving and to exhibit those same characteristics as well. To give joyfully, to give sacrificially, to give voluntarily, to give persistently, to give ourselves all that we have and are to God in service. That is how we ought to give, and what we ought to give: our time, our talents, our treasures. Why do we give such gifts? Why do we give them in such a manner? What is the cause of our giving? Well, just briefly, Paul mentions that here as well in our text. We should not give for the sake of giving. We should give out of gratitude and for a purpose as God directs us. For Paul, the Macedonian churches gave to support the saints in spreading the gospel. They gave to support the saints. They gave to support them in spreading the gospel message. In verse 4, we learn that the Christians in Macedonia wanted to have the privilege of sharing in the service of the saints. They wanted to give to the Lord's work. They wanted to help Paul and others as they shared the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul said elsewhere in his letters that whether he was in chains or out of them, he would be sharing the gospel message. He would be telling others of Jesus Christ and his love for them. The giving from the Christians was to support the saints in that work. It was to help them in their travels, to feed them, to clothe them. It was to pay for literature and anything else that was needed to spread the gospel message. Paul was encouraging them to keep supporting the work of the gospel. It was not for him. He was only interested in being able to do all he could to tell other people about Jesus Christ. When we give, we are giving to support the work of the saints in spreading the gospel as well. We are giving to support the work of the church here in Cornton primarily. We're in a needy area. There's a great mission field all around us. We need your time and we need your talents to make a difference. We need all who are able to get involved in witnessing to those around us, to running activities that we do, and indeed to think of other initiatives that we could do to be reaching out to the people of this neighbourhood and to be demonstrating God's love in action to them. We also need, of course, your treasures. The work of reaching out, the work of spreading the gospel does cost money. A cause for giving, though, is to support the work at home and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say, though, that another cause for giving is to help needy Christians in a foreign land. The Macedonian churches were giving to help needy Christians elsewhere as they shared in the work of the kingdom. Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to be doing exactly the same, to be supporting those working in Jerusalem. The Macedonian churches wanted to, themselves were in need, but they wanted to support the work that was going on elsewhere. It was important to them that the good news of the gospel was spread across the entire world. Were Jesus' last words to his disciples not, "Go and make disciples of all nations"? Were they not to go out into Jerusalem and into Judea and Samaria and into the ends of the earth and share the gospel? Paul wanted to ensure as many as possible across different lands were able to hear about Jesus. These works of God are still going on across the world today. And not every place where work is done in Jesus Christ's name is an affluent place. We live in one of the most affluent societies around. It is our responsibility to help needy Christians in foreign lands. We can give to support the work of mission agencies. We can send food and other items to foreign lands to practically meet the needs of missionaries and others. we can give to support a church in another country that is spreading the gospel message, that is teaching people the truth of Scripture. A giving church has cause to give to help needy Christians in a foreign land. I'm sure there are other causes that we could think about, but these two come up easily out of the text for us this morning. And this morning and they do of course fit in with our vision statement. This morning we've considered that a giving church will have the characteristics of giving that Paul describes. We will give joyfully in all circumstances, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We will give sacrificially as we see need and will want to respond as God prompts us. We will give voluntarily, not out of compulsion, not under threat, but because we want to give, recognising of course all that God has done for us in giving Christ Jesus. We will give persistently, and we will keep on giving, and we will give ourselves to God, our time, our talents, our treasures. And as we give for a cause and for a reason. We give to support the work of the saints in spreading the gospel. We give for the work here in Cornton as we seek to reach this community around us and to see them won for Jesus Christ, to see their lives changed and transformed through the power of the gospel. We also give to help needy Christians in a foreign land. We support the work of BMS and others across the globe. We are to be a giving church, supporting the work of God at home and abroad. And as we put all of that together, we see how it fits in with our desire to be demonstrating God's love in action in the community of Cornton. As we seek to do that in this local area, we will be a church that is committed to being a worshipping family, gathering regularly to meet, to praise and to honour God. We will be a praying people who don't just come on a Sunday or a Thursday evening, but gather at other times in twos and threes and more to be praying and looking out for His guidance and His power. We will be a witnessing people, sharing with this community around us the love of Jesus Christ, the great news of what God has done for us through Jesus. We will be an equipping fellowship, encouraging daily living according to the teachings of Scripture, the life of Jesus and what He taught us. We will be a caring congregation, touching each other, blessing each other, but reaching out to those beyond our church membership as well to meet their needs, to be with them in their joys and their sorrows. And we will be a giving church, supporting the work of God here in this place, seeing this building loan paid off in double quick time because of what we do, and supporting work elsewhere as Christ's name is proclaimed. And if you need a wee reminder of all of those, there's a poster up on the notice board now with the vision around us. I've prepared a wee summary booklet of the sermons from the last 6 or 7 weeks on the mission statement, and there's some booklets there you can pick up to refresh your memory. Friends, my prayer is that our desire would be, all of us together, that we would endeavour to reach out to this community of ours and to share with them the love of Jesus, because we want to demonstrate it in action through all of those things. Let's pray together, will we? Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank You for Your word. We admit at times, Father God, that that word is difficult, it's hard, it doesn't sit easily with us, it's not palatable to our tongues. But Father God, we thank You that Your word is necessary for us. Necessary for us to grow and to change. It's necessary for us to become more like You. It's necessary for us to grow as Christians. And so, Father God, as we've thought about that difficult subject of giving this morning, I just pray that You would help us to go away with that word in our minds, to pick up our Bibles later on today and to read that word again, to check it out again to make sure it is what You're saying to us, that are Your words. And Father God, we pray that You'd help us individually to find out how we might apply that properly to our lives, how we might give of ourselves to You in service, joyfully, sacrificially, voluntarily, persistently, in giving of ourselves always. And Father God, how You would help us collectively to work out what that means for us, to be giving to support the work of the saints here and abroad. Father God, take that word and commit it to our hearts. And Father God, help us to commit ourselves to live Your way always. For that's our desire. Take our lives take our all. We offer them to you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me encourage you to have a wee word with me afterwards. If you have any questions about that, if you want the booklets are outside to pick up, you can get gift aid for them from Colin as well. If you